At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From blustery New York. A good Thursday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com, and windy enough to cancel downstate. And that word coming in the last, 45 minutes, I can only base on what is going on up here where high winds knocked the power out early this morning. I woke up at like 4 and could tell right away there are a couple of places where, you know, where things glow, you know, the cable box and so forth. I said, there's also a fan. We have a fan overhead in the bedroom. The fan wasn't going. I said, we got no power. So we were Little House on the Prairie for this morning early on. I had to boil water. The first time that the new gas stove came in handy. Tina said, I better call in late. I said, what do you mean? She said, there's not going to be any hot water. There's not going to be coffee. I said, okay, relax. First of all, the water in the hot water heater is hot, number one. That it'll stay hot for quite a few hours, and I've got a plan for coffee. So, that's the beauty of the gas stove. You're not completely helpless, and so fired it up and boiled water and did a pour over to make a pot of coffee, and she didn't even know the difference by the time I brought it upstairs. And the power came back on time. I'll give them credit. They sent out an alert. They said 6:45, and at 6:37, power came back on. Well done. So, but funny, we were supposed to run today with Minute Mouse in the second, and I didn't even, until the alert came from NYRA, from the racing office, they were canceling. I hadn't even put two and two together to be concerned about downstate. But anyway, no racing today. So they'll pick the ball up tomorrow. Plenty of other options. And that actually includes this morning in Dubai, where Doug O'Neill is heavily invested. He's got a bunch, and then the rest of the action later this afternoon and into the evening. The focus obviously is going to be on Gulfstream. It's going to be hard not to actually be pretty keyed up about the Fountain of Youth card and everything that accompanies it. And if you haven't had a chance yet, the entry box ended up being invaded yesterday. When Marty McGee sent out the word that there were going to be 12 horses, Ron Paolucci too. Ron was committed with the Falcon, and Ron was, I think, the first to even mention that word had come out from the racing office that 12 had entered the Fountain of Youth. I mean, there had been 8. And there's some horses in here that are, you know, are going to be 50, 60 to 1. And, you know, some of the horses that had been committed to this from early on, notably Shotsky, Etay Indien, and Chance It, they end up in the 10, 11, and 12 hole as a result of you know, these rather extraneous horses. And it's compromising. Mike Welch put up the stats, if you didn't see them. you know, what the 12 post has represented going a mile into 16th since the change in the configuration, and the stats are horrible. I mean, this race, and I don't know who you're going to argue against being involved in here, but I mean, the horses that had not necessarily been even rumored, Candy Tycoon entered, and at least the Pletchers, there had been, you know, two or three horses that Todd had considered. So Candy Tycoon entering, you know, not entirely a shocker, but he had said earlier in the week that, you know, when asked, that it didn't look like they were going to participate. But then Candy Tycoon ends up entered, draws the one. Maccabim, Danny Hurtak, jumps aboard. Master Day from Gelfenstein, Gilberto Zirpa, hadn't been considered. And surprisingly, Country Grammar turned up for Chad Brown and Paul Pompa. Castellano will ride. Liam's Lucky Charm turns up. And so all of a sudden, this thing went, this went from, you know, a very set group of eight to a much bulkier and I guess potentially more intriguing even group of 12. So Chancet and Tyler Gaffleone from the 12 hole are going to have to, you know, negotiate a trip, and you know, not going to be the easiest scenario. The expectation was, I think, anyway, that, you know, just looking back inside, Candy Tycoon certainly with speed. Ette and Dien's got speed. Chancet, you know, he, second time going a mile and a 16th, he did it in the In Reality. But, I mean, he has been, you know, close to the lead in all of his races, essentially. Liam's Lucky Charm has got speed, and, you know, coming right back out of the Risen Star, that was a surprise. You know, the two long shots, Master Day, a first out winner at Gulfstream West for Zirpa and Gelfenstein, and then a couple of allowance tries, and was, you know, a decent second behind Safi Joseph's New York Traffic. Maccabim won a 16 claimer, two back, and then tried the American Fabius there during the President's Day starter handicap card. The race that disc jockey didn't win. So the field, Candy Tycoon with Manny Franco off the maiden win at the end of January. For Mathis, the Twirling Candy Colt. Maccabim from the two, Master Day, the three, the Falcon. Ron Paolucci and Anthony and Ashley Quartarolo. Dennis's Moment drew the five. Gets the setup shop under Flavian Pratt, of course, with Arad in Saudi Arabia. As seen on TV, Paco Lopez out of the Mucho Macho Man. For Kelly Breen, Country Grammar, the maiden winner at Aqueduct in November, starts his three-year-old season, been working right along, working steadily at Payson Park. This a Tonalist Colt, the May foal, so a late foal bred by our friends, the Pierces. And Gear Jockey, the maiden for Rusty Arnold and Calumet, making his seasonal debut. He had been targeted for this, and he's actually worked well. Be anxious to hear what Mike Welch has to say tomorrow. Liam's Lucky Charm, the surprise entrant from the nine. Shotsky, Jerry O'Dwyer, invading down from New York, and Ette and Dien and Chancet for Biancone and Safi Joseph, respectively. It's going to be a fun race. It's a Just hate to see anybody compromised by what feels like a couple of horses in here that really, you know, we all appreciate full fields, but I don't know. It seems like the Florida Derby the last several years would get this scenario as well. The rest of the card, just unbelievable. What, another 8 graded stakes, plus the Hutchison ended up filling. They ended up running the Hutchison on this card. They had talked about doing it tomorrow or Sunday, and it drew a 7-horse field. And then the graded stakes start with the Palm Beach, the 3-year-olds on the grass, the Honey Fox. Palm Beach got a dozen as the 3-year-old turf season starts to get into gear. Honey Fox with 11, the mile for the fillies and mares. There's a maiden race early, then an allowance. The very, very one. Marty, when we talk to Marty, it's Marty's favorite misnomer when the very one does not get advertised as the very one. And to the credit of the overnight, it says the very one. Fillies and mares, they're going to go a mile and 3/16. A group of a dozen in there, and a dozen for a maiden 3-year-old group that looks interesting. And then the rest of the card rolls out with the Here Comes the Bride. That's the 3-year-old fillies on the grass. Counterpoint to the Palm Beach. The Devona Dale for the 3-year-old fillies, group of 9. Tonal Shape draws outside, tries to remain unbeaten. The very interesting Nikki and Papa, who continues to work up a storm. She's in there. Nice group of 9. And then the late pick 4, all graded stakes, the Canadian Turf, a dozen. A lot of familiar names in there, and the Grade 2 Mile, Gulfstream Park Mile, Hot Creek Hustle shows up for Vicky Foley, draws outside the open air box where the air is fresh and clear. The Marty McGee, Bodie Express down on the rail. McDarmida goes as race 13. Familiar field of 10, and including Zulu Alpha and Channelmaker and Sadler's Joy, literally all the usual suspects, and the Fountain of Youth. So 14 race card on Saturday. All right, so there it is. And we'll talk about it. We got kind of a funny Thursday get-together, including Johnny D and John White. We'll get both of them in here. I told you, no Steve Haskin today. Steve is under the weather, so hope Steve feels better. And we'll talk to Dick Powell, get Dick in here, and the situation coronavirus-related in Australasia continues to affect the racing. Korea, with certain restrictions, Japan now is going to close the grandstand, essentially, etc. So a lot of that in response. And we'll catch up on the Hong Kong action. As I told you, I'm not going out of my way when it comes to this Saudi Cup. But Dick might have a thought or two. Brad Free is there for the racing forum, and I would, if you're planning on betting this, follow what Brad is doing. Brad had a very important piece, if you're interested in this. The American interests drew essentially quite compact in the middle of the card, the middle of the gate, maximum security, McKinsey. Uh, Maximum Security the 7, McKinsey the 9, Mucho Gusto the 8, Tacitus the 2, Midnight Bisou the 7. But Brad has some interesting information about how heavy and soft the racetrack is. So read that and follow Brad's lead if you're interested. Brian Nadeau is going to join us after we talk to Dick from ExpressBet. And Brian has already gone through the Strinac 5 sequence for tomorrow with the carryover. Should be a very big pot and a very nice positive expectation potential. The takeout should be thoroughly negated. We'll talk to Tony. We got to talk about Ray York passing the other day, 86 years old, and of course won the Derby at age 20. As a 20-year-old, won the 54 Derby with Determine, the first gray to win a Derby, actually, right? And got some other news I got to get to, too. Very sad from yesterday. But Ray York, 86, a very popular, outgoing character and a terrific jock in his era. Johnny, as promised, as we wrap up Beat the Host, John White, Rich Eng, and more. Let's take the break. We'll come back. We'll get going. Lots to do. Dick Powell starts us off. At the Races, SiriusXM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American foal crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our racehorse development fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
I preach, my dear friends, you're about to receive on John Barleycorn, nicotine, and the temptations of Eve.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
No barking by the sewer sign, hot dog, my razor broke, water dripping up the spout, but I don't care, let it all hang out. Hanging from a pine tree by my knees, sunshine through the shade, nobody knows what it's all about, it's too much, man, let it all hang out.
We're back at the races. Yeah. Got to mention, as Dick Powell joins us, and I'm going to guess that Dick, had more than one occasion over the years to attend events with John Wayne, the longtime regulator from Delaware. And yesterday, John attending the regulator and investigator conference in New Mexico died suddenly. And John had actually been fighting cancer and has had health issues, but this still came as a shock, and really sadly had just last week buried his mother. So yesterday we had that conversation with Bill Harrigan, you know, who's really a kind of a behind the scenes horseman. John Wayne, a guy that was really an institution in the Mid-Atlantic, and served on so many different RCI functions and you name it. John Wayne contributed HBPA functions and just was just affable and really a real servant of the game, and just really sad. I don't have any other details yet other than the news that came late yesterday afternoon that he had died suddenly. So hearts go out to everybody. And John, there isn't a horseman or a better or anybody, fan that passed through the gates at Delaware Park in particular that didn't know John. I mean, he was sort of everywhere over the years where I've gone to functions. I mean, John Wayne's just always there. And of course, when you grow up and have the name John Wayne, it makes you instantly, notable and memorable. Dick, good morning. I was just speculating that, that you attended functions here or there with John.
Yeah, definitely. Seen him at least once or twice a year.
Yep.
At the various things that I attend on behalf of my clients, and yeah, he was always around. Big guy. I mean, just
yeah.
John was big, and he lost some weight, and I didn't realize he had the cancer. So that's tragic.
Yeah. We'll pass along, more details, and we'll talk about Ray York in a little bit with Tony. And I just heard from Deshaun Parker, who I've been trying to get a visit in with all week. And Deshaun's going to join us in hour two well.
He's been killing it in Texas, man.
Unbelievable.
The King of Mountaineer Park takes over Texas.
Very much. And it's
great
a fun story. It's a fun story to me too, because I said this yesterday that he's a guy that had been winning at a high high rate essentially at the bottom level, and is sort of working his way up in terms of the ovals, and he swept the stakes at Sam Houston the other night, and only one of the four wins was on a favorite. I thought that was pretty notable. He did it for four different horsemen, and so I never had him on, and I reached out to him. So looking forward to getting a visit in with Deshaun Parker today as well. Dick, plenty of international news, and when it comes to Australasia, the coronavirus situation that is a worldwide concern. I saw where Korea making their restrictions, the JRA with announcements about restricting spectators. This continues to make a big impact at racetracks, wherever there's public gatherings.
Yes, and the most of that is preventative. Might
sure.
be late, but it is preventative, because large gatherings of people interacting in tight quarters is just, not the thing to do these days with this thing going around, and not sure how to handle it and stuff. The positive news that came out of Hong Kong today was that they were going to open a couple of 17 off-course betting shops on Mondays and Fridays so that customers could go in and open accounts, put deposits in, make withdrawals, things like that. You can't go there to bet. It's not going to be a large crowd of people cheering on racing and stuff. But that had been shut down, and they've opened that up some. So that's hopefully positive news. Hong Kong, with the population density and the airport that handles just enormous amounts of flights every day, you know, Hong Kong is not ground zero, but it's a place where people come and go and interact with lots of other people. So the Hong Kong Jockey Club, which has been on top of this from day one and has made drastic changes, including, you know, limiting the crowd on New Year's Eve to a couple thousand people instead of 90,000, they've loosened up a little bit in terms of their off-course betting, which has stayed. It's amazing when you have the system that they have, because, well, let's say their average might be 1.4 billion handle, which is like 200 million U.S. dollars. They're down to like a billion. Yesterday was a billion one. So that's a decrease, but it's not catastrophic, because they already have the infrastructure of phone betting and internet betting and mobile betting and just every imaginable way of making bets. Unfortunately, you just can't go to the track. And watching the races is really eerie, with everyone having the mask on and, you know, hardly anybody there. You don't have the big crowd shots and stuff like that. But they're going on, and they're very leery, not leery, but very cognizant of horses shipping in from their training center, even going from Sha Tin to Happy Valley and back and forth and stuff like that. The people have to, you know, go through testing and stuff like that. So they're on top of it. The other countries are on top of it. And then it's just a matter of, can the science catch up quick enough to develop vaccines or whatever's going to be needed. But yeah, it's kind of crazy to talk about racing in the overall environment of how serious this is.
Well, we're going to anyway.
Oh, I know. I got CNBC on. I'm watching the stock market. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll avoid making a political statement about our readiness here in the United States. I think anybody that knows me knows what I'm thinking. So there we go. Dick, there is, in addition to obviously, you know, the racing this weekend, you know, I've avoided having much to say about this Saudi race and the activities there on Saturday, but it is available to people, and it'll be on Fox Sports 1 at noonish, noon to 1, and then there's more Fox coverage later in the day of North American racing as well. There's a 3 to 6:30 show from NYRA that will feature a lot of the stakes from Gulfstream. So you can look forward to a big day. I mean, it's in some respects, Dick, it's kind of similar. It's a similar Saturday to what we typically get on Dubai World Cup night and Florida Derby day. It seems like, sort of the kind of a similar marriage.
Yeah, the timing works out pretty much the same. I was there in 2018 for 8 days. I was involved with planning the various events, and then the race went to the back burner for quite a while, and then when it came back into the fore, the person that we were dealing with was no longer running the equestrian club. So they went elsewhere for advice, but I was bullish on $20 million. At one point, the Pegasus was 16, but it was, you know, kind of like a phony 16. You weren't running for 16. You were putting up $12 million.
Right.
They were matching for. But I wanted to have it in a way, which apparently was been used, that I wanted the fifth-place horse to get $1 million. So I created a purse structure where the winner got 50%, not 60. So you're running for a $10 million first prize, but fifth place was, in my calculations back then, was $1 million. And I also got rid of the starting fees, because Dubai has free nominations, but they do charge $100,000 to start in the race. So I wanted to make it where anyone who went, all expenses paid, you're not taking any financial risk. And it's, you know, it's like any other long trip. You know, horses tend to come back sooner and quicker and better than they used to come back from long trips. So, you know, that's for the owner to decide what they want to do, but I wanted to take a lot of things off the table. So, deeply in planning it. The track itself was very nice. The main track with the long backstretch, because they could run a mile and a quarter straight away if they wanted to. No, they decided to do a mile and an eighth. But they grew a turf course, which I wasn't sure was possible, and they drew quite a field for Saturday, including many horses from Dubai, Japan, which we were almost certain that we wouldn't get Japan horses when we were involved. And there seems to be a big level of cooperation with Dubai and Saudi. So they got quite a race coming up on Saturday, and quite a betting race.
Yeah, and I guess in terms of, you'll have to check your individual ADW in terms of those arrangements. And as I mentioned, I would recommend people follow what Brad Free, if you're going to latch on to this and take an interest. I will, Dick, let you also discuss what's going on right now, today, in Dubai, because you do have the Nat al-Sheba trophy later, and I didn't, last week when I reached out to Doug O'Neill, he was on a ski trip, in fact, with his son, so he begged off, so I haven't had a chance to get that conversation in with Doug, but, you know, he's been making, you know, a bit of noise. I mean, his horses have been running well, this string that he sent over. So I'm kind of anxious. But today, kind of a notable card, because you've got a couple of, I would say, familiar names and horses, including Team Valor and Gary Barber with Spanish Mission later in the Nat al-Sheba trophy. And we could even almost maybe take that race. Let me see. I think it goes as the fifth today.
Hang on. I'm in the racing post, but I had to.
Yeah, it does. It goes as the fifth. And so, yeah, I think we'll be able. Yeah, I think we can take that. All right. So. And Doug's horse, Doug's got four in today. Ocean Fury, that Stormy Atlantic colt for Abundanza, goes in the third. And Fernando Jara aboard. I for those that have been following coverage of pre-race activities in Saudi Arabia, Eddie Castro is over there. Under contract. For those that have wondered what happened to Eddie Castro, you now know that he's under contract working in Saudi Arabia.
When we were there, there was no racing in Riyadh because it was, you know, 116 degrees out. But but they have racing in Taif, which is over in the western side of the country, which is 6,000-7,000 feet above sea level, so it's cooler during the summer. And Eddie Castro was there. I don't want to get any names wrong. I think Roberto Ramos was there. There was three or four recognizable names as riders. And, yeah, he's one of their better daily riders. And they have racing year-round. You know, this time of year, cooler weather, they race in Riyadh. Summer weather, they go up to Taif. And the horses all look fit and a lot of recognizable pedigrees. I mean, in fact, when I was there, I got to see, we stopped at some barn, like, in, I don't know what time it was, 1 o'clock in the morning or something, and Patriot Act and Keen Entry were in their stalls. I was like, well, it is a long way to go to see Keen Entry.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it was, well, you know, recognizable names and pedigrees, and some of the jacks have gone over there and done very well because it's just good, consistent business. You know, they're, it's not race a week and then be off. You know, they're busy. One thing they do there that I think everyone should really be aware that as far as visual, it has a tremendous effect. You have the horse and the jockey silks, and they always have two grooms, one on each side of the horse. The grooms wear the same silks as the jockey, and when you see it, it's really striking. And there's this tremendous team pride among the groups. So you'll see Eddie Castro, and he's in yellow with green checks or whatever, and the two grooms are wearing
That's
yellow
cool.
with green checks.
Very
and,
cool.
And it's just a tremendous visual. And it's like, well, why doesn't everybody do that? And then, you know, you see some, you know, guy in a T-shirt, or and then they look like bowling shirts. You know, they kind of they're not tucked in or anything. But it was just something that, you know, I like going places, seeing things I've never seen before, and I'm like, man, that's a nice idea. I like that. Not sure. I'm not saying they're the only place to have it, but the first time I've seen it.
Well, we'll be watching certainly the feature, and as I said yesterday or Tuesday, let's see the American interests take the money back with them. Dick, how about some action from your perspective, and what we got coming up this week, and what transpired last week, and what's coming up this weekend?
Well, we had a couple of Group 1 races 2 weeks ago. Time Warp beat Exultant in the Hong Kong Gold Cup going a mile and a quarter. That was a big upset. Exultant is now kind of off the trail for the the Shima Classic at Dubai. He ran second and just was kind of off his game. Beauty Generation was back on his game. He won the Silver Jubilee Cup going 7 furlongs. Not sure what their plans are going to be. They had mentioned the Dubai Turf going a mile and eighth, but we'll see about that. And then the four-year-olds were in action last week in the Hong Kong Classic Cup. And Golden 60, who by far is the best four-year-old over there, was sick. And Hong Kong gave out all the information about his temperature. And right up until like the day before, he was still questionable. I can't remember the horse's name, I bet Ryan Moore, 13-1, who takes the lead in the stretch. And then here comes Golden 60 to run me down. So almost, but Golden 60 goes for the Triple Crown in the Hong Kong Derby in 3 weeks on March 23rd. Cool. We had three meets in a row at Shot 10. We didn't have the Happy Valley Wednesday meet. We had a Shot 10 all-weather meet. And as we've talked before, Shot 10, it's a wider, kinder course, even the all-weather track. And we had 15 out of 28 favorites win at those three meets at Shot 10. Now, yesterday, they moved to Happy Valley, and we saw 2 out of 9 favorites. And Happy Valley usually runs about 24-25% winning favorites. It's a more chaotic track. It has a shorter stretch. Trips are really important. So we kind of saw that back yesterday at Happy Valley. And Joe Marrero's been suspended. He'll be back next week, not this Sunday, though, but next week. He has 81 wins. Zach Purton made up a little ground with 72. And the trainer battle is Ricky Yu with 39 and Francis Liu with 38. They're tightly battling for the trainer's title. This Sunday, Saturday night, 10 races, Steve. Every race has 14 entered, and about half the races have supplements ready to go if there's any scratches. So we're probably looking at 140 horses running in 10 races. This coming Saturday, back at Sha Tin, our man Alfred Chan, who's the apprentice rider, the 10-pound apprentice rider, and he did have a win yesterday, and I did not have it, much to my chagrin. If I'd have gotten up early, maybe. He won his 20th race in Hong Kong, so now his 10-pound apprentice allowance is reduced to 7 pounds. So Chan still getting 7, which is quite a bit of weight, considering how good a rider is with the apprentice allowance or not.
Well, and how, and particularly when you consider that it's a handicap system, and 7 pounds still significant for for a lot of the horses, where the weights are being shifted weekly.
No, it definitely is, and he's he has a tremendous background. It's not like he just started riding or anything. So it's him getting 10 pounds is very significant, and 7 pounds will still be significant. And as far as I know, under the rules, he'll get the 7-pound allowance for quite a while. So that's something to note. Naturally, immediately the program for Sunday and all the statistics and everything else immediately have the 7 pounds. I mean, they don't miss anything there. They just plug it in and spit it out. So. And now 7 pounds. This coming Sunday, it's a nice card as far as betting with 14 horses every race. No big stake races or anything else like that at Sha Tin this coming Sunday. The opener, which I like to give out because it's 11:15 East Coast time, so you still got a chance to bet this race before falling asleep. They're going to go 1,000 meters, which at Sha Tin is the straightaway. At Happy Valley, that is around one turn, so that's something to remember. So post position, not that important. The horse I like, number 3, Trust Me, breaks from the 14, and the 14 isn't the greatest post on the straightaway because you're away from everything. So you're not on the stand side, you're on the other side. Zach Purton rides. Horse is finishing up his races really well. And he's been specializing at 1,000 meters, so I think this will be just right for him. He was a vet scratch February 8th, so he's back here 3 weeks later. But just the confidence you can have in their system, where if a horse isn't ready, they're not allowed to race. If they are ready, they are allowed to race. So I got to trust me. I got to trust that Trust Me will be ready and allowed to race. And with Zach Purton and Dennis Yip as the trainer, they have 7 wins in 22 starts this year as a jock-trainer combination. I mean, that's really significant. So not something you might, stick out in your mind. So we'll go with Trust Me, number 3 in the opener. Number 7, M.M. Johnny, showed terrific speed in its debut before weakening. That was going 6 furlongs. Now he turns back to 5 furlongs straightaway, and he adds blinkers for a second start, so I think he'll be busting out of there with Chad Schofield. And another horse to maybe throw in is number 6, Fighter Boy. Had a lot of trouble in his career debut, but still only beaten 2 lengths and was 15-1, which is, in 14 horse fields, 15-1 is probably 6th or 7th choice in the betting, so Fighter Boy wasn't bad. But we do like the 3 on top, and if you want to play a Quinella, I would throw in the 6 and 7. That's the opener. And then on to race number 4. This is a class 4, which we have many of. Rated 40 to 60. They're going to go 6 furlongs. I like number 5, Eternal Harvest. He was way back in his career debut and really finished well. Now, he passed like 9 horses, beaten 3 1/4 lengths. He went off at 5-1, so there were expectations for this horse. And I'm just going to have to assume he just missed the start, and hopefully tonight, Saturday night, Sunday, he can make the start. George Wellam, post five, nice pedigree, just nothing not to like. He went off 5-1 last time, so I think we'll probably get that or even a little bit less. And we're going to use a horse with him, number three, Beluga. First-time starter, Zach Purton rides, and he's won his last two trials very impressively. They give you all the information on the barrier trials. They're all recorded. You watch them all. It's great handicap and exercise. So Beluga looks ready for a first-time starter. He draws post 10, so he's going to have to show some speed to get into the turn, but it does look like he has some talent. So we'll go number five, Eternal Harvest, number three, Beluga, if you want to use a Quinella. And then the last pick will be race number six. This is a class three, rated 60 to 80. I like horses making its Hong Kong debut, Chikorita. Been in Australia, ran well against decent company, hasn't been out since August, and it's now been acclimated to Hong Kong. And these horses that come in, they give them plenty of time to learn the ropes and acclimate and everything else. Well, he looks like he's ready. He gets Zach Purton, and his last barrier trial, he won going gate to wire, going 4 furlongs and 46 and change. So a lot of speed, and this is a 1,000-meter sprint down the straightaway. So Chikorita from post two, hopefully we can get out and get involved early. And we'll see if he takes any money. There's a lot of horses with a lot more experience in here, so we'll see if he takes the money. But we like number six, Chikorita, in race number six.
Excellent. Well, Dick, I appreciate it. And for those that are tuning in now to action at Maidan, Doug O'Neill about 15, 16 minutes away. You've got I Will Not, a Square Eddie colt for the Redhams. In the second race, then Ocean Fury, she goes, or he goes, I should say, in the third, in the fourth. You've got Fight On, the Into Mischief, and then in the sixth, the Doug's not in the feature in the Nat Alsheba Trophy, but Parsimony, the four-year-old Dominus colt for Redham, goes in the sixth race. So rooting for Doug and Dick, I appreciate it. We'll get together next week.
All right, Steve. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Dick Powell, okay, everybody, bye. And the HKJC Racing .com and everything you need at Chatin this weekend. We'll stay right here, and we got a busy morning ahead. So Brian Nadeau, going to bring in Brian, because the carryover tomorrow for the Stronach 5, and this is really one of the parts of the design of the Stronach 5, is to, you know, have these kinds of opportunities. And a six-figure carryover should produce a lot of action tomorrow, and it's a fun sequence. Brian, good morning.
Mr. Steve, good morning to you. How are things?
Excellent, excellent. I appreciate the visit, and everything that we'll talk about will be available tomorrow at ExpressBet. Extensive each week, whether there's a carryover or not, at ExpressBet, between your analysis of the Stronach 5, then usually one of the Gulfstream pundits will have, whether it's Jason or Ron, they'll have their analysis. You'll have input from the whole team at XBTV for Santa Anita. Matt Dinnerman will chip in ideas about the Golden Gate leg. So there's lots of information for those that haven't latched on. I mean, this bet, 12% takeout to start out with already is a, you know, a terrific number. And the dollar increment gives it kind of a twist, makes it a little bit tougher to build your tickets and be, you know, austere. But when we get these carryovers, Brian, that's the last time we spoke. And this is a big opportunity. There'll be a lot of money in, and should be a positive expectation.
Yeah, big balloons, I would think. I mean, I would think, Steve, $1 million is in play. I mean, we're talking about 167 in the kitty. And as you mentioned, it's the bet has been very, I think it's been very well received. I mean, They guarantee it at 100. It blows by that. You know, $200,000, give or take, they typically get in the pool each week. And you mentioned the dollars, the minimum does make it very tricky. It's tough to build tickets, and as you know, that they can add up pretty quickly. But I also think that plays into the fact that we've had it, you know, more than one carryover, more than a few occasions. So it's a fun bet, 12%. And you know, when you're getting all the best of it as the better, there's no doubt about it. So yeah, tomorrow for sure is a day to maybe peel a few extra bills off the bankroll, take a rubber band off of it, and fire, because you have a chance to make a major score, especially with so much kind of dead money out there already.
And the sequence is not easy. It is a Friday.
No.
Yeah, it's a sequence that typically it does involve, you know, meat and potato Monday through Friday type racing, and tomorrow no exception, and full fields when they can be scheduled, and when the four venues, the Stronach Group venues, all, you know, kind of coordinate. And it starts tomorrow, and to give everybody, if you're taking notes, the Laurel 8th, the Gulfstream 8th, the Golden Gate 3rd, the Santa Anita 3rd, and the Gulfstream 10th. So there's your sequence, two at Gulfstream and one each at Laurel, Golden Gate, and Santa Anita. And it starts with this nickel non-winners of three lifetime, fillies and mares, nightcap at Laurel, and there's a dozen of them, at least on paper, to start. And some thoughts about this with a whole bunch of, I think, every single bug boy and girl in Maryland is involved in this race.
These Laurel races, that typically they always start the sequence with Laurel, and you look at these races and you kind of just scratch your head and your head starts hurting. Where am I going to do with this? I thought, at least this time, I thought this seemed like a relatively well-defined field where, you know, I think there's three or four that just, they can't win. So you kind of start there. And then I had four A's, Steve, and three of them are very logical. One maybe is a little funky. Top pick was my four A's are 3, 12, 6, 9, and I thought 15K, this is a class drop for this horse, to me at least. We're going now into the 3L ranks after, you know, she's been facing tougher, a little layoff. It doesn't really bother me. I mean, she can stalk, she can settle. She's never really been at this level this week. So I thought she was very logical with tactical speed that should, you know, kind of trip out in here. I put her on top, outside to the 12 handrail. I know she rises in class, and now she goes from a 2L to a 3L, but I don't ever think it's a bad thing to be entering a group like this off a win, and I think that's very kind of an underrated move, you know, and she got the
lace.
She got the lace. She got that barn last time, and she moved up, no surprise there. She does a great job. So I thought she was very logical from kind of a nice outside attack post. The 6 crossing the valley, you know, ran well first time at this level last time. Needs to move up a little bit because she was behind a few of these, but I don't think that's out of the question. And she's only 2 for 11, so there's a little upside. You know, she's not 2 for 30 or anything like that. Now, my one goofy horse was Aciano, and I don't think she's going to be 15-1 on the morning line. But she was in way tougher last time off the long layoff. We'll call her the other Gaudette, you know, but this is second off the long layoff on the stiff drop. Now, maybe she can't run anymore, Steve. I don't know. And certainly she's, you know, she was on turf doing her good work, and now she's on dirt. But this is a major, major class drop. She goes second off the layoff. I like the fact that when she came back last time, she still had her speed. Gets a hot jockey in Rosado, who's, you know, 4 for 14 at the meet, very small sample, but you know, Gaudette has used this jock before. So I thought maybe Aciano, if there's someone that's going to move up here, she's got every right to do it if she can still run a little bit. So I'm kind of, those are my four A's, and then one backup, one B was Trimmed in Gray down inside. That was a slow race last time, and you know, a few of them exited, and I used one already on top. Now, the rail in a 12-horse field, I don't think it's ideal, and that probably kept her from the top line for me, and she's a little slow on paper. But I think, you know, if you're spreading in here and it looks like that kind of a race, I had at least to give her some kind of a look.
Yeah, Crossing the Valley, excuse me, made plenty of sense, and it does feel like there's some pace in here and just by the bulk of the field and also the fact that you do have the handful of bug riders involved here, right? I think there's four of them all together. Yeah, and you know the bugs generally will hustle. They're not all that patient, so that might add to your pace scenario. But Lacey Gaudette does feel loaded here with both on the outside with the 12 handrail, who I think, you know, doesn't, even though she won, you know, near the lead last time and took over fairly early, doesn't really look like she absolutely has to have the lead. It feels like she can draft outside, and that might come in, you know, handy before dropping in. I the 6 and the 12, that 6, Bobby Bales, Crossing the Valley, I liked a lot. I don't know how many I'm going to use here yet, and the point is well taken on Trimmed in Gray down inside, who, you know, can set up shop. Gomez can set up shop, I think, and get an inside stalking trip, you know, if he doesn't get shuffled back, you know, too much. This is a San Pablo filly, and don't know how many of those, how many San Pablos you're going to see, but this one's okay for what we're talking about. 5,000 non-winners of three lifetime. Let's go to Gulfstream, and this second leg is the 8th, and here we're looking at 16,000 types going a mile on the grass.
Yeah, this is a tough race, Steve. This is kind of the old use one or use them all, and I certainly can't use them all. So this was where I kind of had to be bold, kind of take a hard stand, and I'm just going to single go silently, at least on the A level. I think he's probably loose in here under Jaramillo. If he's not loose, he's the inside speed with some maybe cheap speed to his outside. But, you know, and if Gunslinger draws in, then that becomes a little problematic. But at least in the body of the main field, you know, we know this horse. You know this horse. This is a New York bred. Everybody's familiar with him. I think he's been facing better. And then last time he kind of got to this level. I mean, those are tough New York bred claimers there for a quarter that he was facing, Wicked Droid and the likes, and then he gets down to Gulfstream, gets to the level last time, and Bobby Falcone, he's kind of had a struggling meet, but he does good work, and I would think this horse is kind of, I'll be on the front, hold your breath, how far I last, and, you know, he's had a penchant for lasting all the way when he gets things his own way. So, like I said, I'm going to single go silently, and I'll know where I'm at after a half mile. If he's getting pressed from the outside, that's very problematic for me. But I think he can clear this group. I hope he clears this group. And then from there, I think he can get mighty brave. The other thing, too, is that, you know, some of the major contenders, you look at Unlock the Potential. I mean, here's a horse with no speed at all. You do not want to be out the back on this turf course. That's not telling anybody something they don't know. But you just don't want to be out the back on the Gulfstream Park turf course. So Unlock the Potential looks like that. There's tactical speed with discrete heat, so I think you have to use him as well. And then American Ninja doesn't have a lot of speed either. He was just third to Go Silently. So those were my three backups. I've got Go Silently singled, and I have to get a little creative to get to my backup. So kind of what I did, Steve, is, you know, I like to call them super A's. So I kind of pared down my A's to allow my ticket to get to the B's if necessary. So Go Silently is the single on the main tickets. And then, like I said, Discreet Heat, American Ninja, and 2 Unlock the Potential are the ones I'm kind of using if Go Silently can't get loose and can't wire this field. It's a tough race like I said at the start, kind of the old use one or use them all. And, you know, the problem is when you have races like that, you know, I could use five here and still might not get there. So that's where it really ticket building and the dollar ticket really, you know, becomes problematic in trying to put a ticket together, because like I said, on a budget or an imaginary budget, I don't necessarily have a budget here for what we do. But it's hard to get them all in there because you, like I said, you could use five or six, and it's not like that guarantees you're getting home.
And the only, you know, additional information I'll slip in here is American Ninja off of, you know, two very good races. And what's notable is that Paco Lopez sides with Jane Sabelli and National Honor. And it may be that Sabelli wants Paco to, you know, to get this gelding involved a little bit earlier.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'd be aware of those two. And there's nothing wrong with Zayas getting aboard American Ninja, who, you know, should be in prominent position, you know, behind the speed throughout. And I agree about Unlock the Potential, who's, you know, you want to feel defensive about, and if things heat up, you know, it, I suppose has got a chance to, you know, to come running late to pick up a piece. I don't know. There's also, you also got the situation with Leah Giamatti, leave him at the gate. That is another that, you know, might pick up some pieces, and does add blinkers, for this try, and kind of interesting. He's been down there actually all winter, and the second start down there, I leave him at the gate, a horse I respect, hasn't won since Saratoga last summer of 18, but you know, he's a 7 year old and has been a productive horse for Leo over the years.
Yeah, and Bonaventure Stables knows what they're doing. And his form with Lee has been pretty solid. The problem with some of these horses, I mean, I can lump Go Silently in that as well. 3 for 32 on Leave Him at the Gate, and that's tricky to me because, yikes, those losses are starting to add up a little bit. So I don't have like a hard and fast rule about horses like that, but typically for me, after about 1 for 15 or so, I can't get too involved. And 3 for 32 is tough. There's no doubt about it.
I hear you.
But, you know, blinkers on for it. Sometimes I also think, you know, and Lee is a very good horsewoman, but, you know, 32 starts and now the blinkers go on. It's kind of like, is this neighbor throwing something at the wall here and hoping it sticks? I don't know. Tricky read, but that's also the kind of horse we're dealing with when you're talking about 16 claimers on the turf, you know, at this point in their career.
Let's go to the third leg. We'll head out to San Francisco to Golden Gate. And the third, this is a maiden 25 for three-year-olds going six on the Tapita.
Yeah, this is the one at least I thought was, you know, I've got in order for my A's 285, Mr. McLean, That's a Bad Boy, and then Big Perm. And when you look at these three horses, they all bring a little something different to the table. Mr. McLean is the proven horse at the level, has inside speed, was just a good second and a really improved second off of a solid debut. The number moves way up, so you've got him proven at the level. You look at Big Perm, he's the firster in here that looks like he can run maybe a little bit. Jonathan Long, 29% at the meet, solid enough, 16% on debut. Steve, 16 for 30 when Hernandez rides for this barn. I mean, you can't make that up. That's a huge, and it's a sizable sample, too. And then you look at, on the outside, That's a Bad Boy, and here's your maiden special weight dropper. So, you know, it's been facing way better. The first time in for a tad, the biggest drop in all of racing, outside speed from a nice attack post. So I thought those three horses, you're supposed to get through if you use those three, to me. So I felt relatively confident in just using those. And I didn't have any backups because I do think those three are a cut above. And I looked at Gem State, and he's solid enough, but it's kind of like he's 0 for 8. He just lost pretty comfortably to Mr. McLean. And you say to yourself, well, why would today be the day on Gem State? And then you go outside a little bit to Travieso Avalito. And I know he's another special rate dropper, but – you know, his form is a little dicey, and he was facing Cowbred Maidens last time, maiden special weights, and the barn is 1 for 32 at the meet. So I just kind of thought, no, not for me. And, you know, with, again, like I said earlier, I'm not necessarily on a budget, but I don't want to give out a ticket that's $600. That doesn't do anybody any good. So I said, you know what, this is going to be no backups here. I'm okay letting the dice roll with the 2, 8, and 5, and kind of being done with it, because then anyone else to me would be a pretty big surprise.
I completely agree. And one of the benefits you get with the 8 out there, that's a bad boy, not only dropping down, but cutting back, has been going longer and has got to be fit and is coming off a bullet on top of that as well. And I, you know, Jonathan Wong, you'd feel like an idiot if you leave Wong out, let him beat you somehow. And Tim McKenna with Mr. McLean is the horse to beat. So I agree. I think you need to use all three to get through the middle portion. That gets us to the fourth leg. We go to Santa Anita, and this is a group that is interesting because there's three firsters, and particularly two of them from very prominent barns, Baltus with Enriched by Deb, Sadler with Fresh Face, and then you've got horses that have had experience. These are maiden 50 fillion mares, older mares, going 5.5. I'm going to be anxious to see what Andy Harrington can contribute to this, and Toby Terrell in DRF Clocker Report and National Turf, to see if we can figure some things out. But I think the two firsters in particular, the Baltus and Sadler, are major players.
Yeah, I agree. I'll talk about Enriched by Deb because I think she's an important horse here. I did not use her, and as I'm sure you noted, Steve, but this is a 3-year-old facing, you know, older gals breaking from the rail. It's February 28th. That's a big deal to me on February 28th. If we're talking July 28th, I don't really care. But this is a pretty it's a pretty big ask to me. I know Baltus is as good as anyone out there, but he is, I'll use the term, you know, in quotations, only 11% with debut runners. It's a big ask to me with Enriched Deb from the rail as a firster, a 3-year-old facing, you know, older horses with the exception of Enchanting Moon, who I don't think is a player in here. So I'm gonna make Enriched Deb kind of prove it to me, and she's not on the ticket. I don't like this race. I'll be the first to admit I don't like this race. In order, my A's 5, 6, 3. I mean, Malibu Cat with speed against maiden special weights. I know her dirt race was not very good, but boy, she flew on the lead that day and was in the slop. It was going farther. It was in February. She comes back with a really nice run on the turf last time. Matt Glatt, small sample, but he's 4 for 9, maiden special weight to maiden claimers. He's 26%, a bigger sample out of 43 starters, turf to dirt. So I don't want to say this was the plan all along, but you kind of look at this gal on paper and you say maybe he did have this spot picked. I thought she ran very well off the layoff. She's lightly raced, just 3 starts. I used her on top, no conviction. I don't know what to make of Renee, but I guess you have to put her in the mix. But you know, when Bob, and this is another maiden special weight dropper, but boy, when Bob Baffert's got a horse that's 0 for 7, I mean, that is, yeah, that's a little dicey to me. I mean, this is not, it's a lot like Todd Fletcher on the East Coast. You know, after 3 or 4 starts, if they haven't broken through, I'm not too excited about their prospects. But this gal has run well, enough on dirt, and the drop is pretty seismic. I think you have to use her. And then Fresh Face is the other firster you talked about. John Sadler, a good 16% on debut. This is a daughter of Uncle Mo. There's plenty of works here. You know, the only the only question mark I have is Aaron Grider riding, and nothing against Aaron whatsoever, but he's never ridden for John Sather. There's no sample size. There's nothing here. And again, it's no disrespect to Aaron Grider, but, you know, John Sadler, as good as there is out in California, and you would sometimes, you know, just master the obvious, he maybe could have gotten someone a little higher percentage. So I have a question mark there. But with that being said, you know, and it's the same goes with Enriched by Dead, who I did use, but I don't, you know, you don't have to be, you know, nobody's got to be a monster here as a first-time starter to run well against a group like this. So those are my three. Palme d'Oro on the outside. If nothing else, she's proven, you know, kind of against this group, and she rises in class a little bit, which is encouraging because, you know, this is like where she's supposed to be, as opposed to a horse like Renine, as a horse like Malibu Cat. You say, well, she's dropping, you know, that's a little worrisome to me because she couldn't get it done against better. Now here they are, whereas a horse like Palme d'Oro rising in class, if nothing else, is a relatively confident, you know, move. Like I said, Steve, I don't like this race at all, and it's a little scary to me.
I'll add just a couple of quick notes on the two firsters and, you know, in terms of some pedigree thoughts. And the horse from Baltus, and Baltus is I'll look three times before I eliminate anything that Baltus sends out. But there's a sibling here. There was a Ravens Pass filly a couple of years ago out of Dubai Moon, Dark Wings over Dubai, that Jerry Hollendorfer had at the beginning of her career. She won at First Asking, as it happens. That was at Golden Gate. Later on, she actually was third in the Bourbonnais Oaks as a 3-year-old. She herself did not start her career until she was three. So there's a little bit of that going on. This is a Munnings who, you know, gets his share of early winners. So I respect Enriched by Deb plenty. There's a lot going on with the Sadler. And as it happens, Sadler has had not just the dam stockings. She was a Hennessy that he trained at the beginning of her career. She took three tries to break her maiden, two at Del Mar, and then ultimately at Hollywood, she broke her maiden, going six at that time on the cushion track. And Sadler had her, you know, for quite a while. And then ultimately, you might remember, she came east and Rudy Rod had her at the last four or five starts of her career. And the oldest sibling here, Highland Lass. Highland Lass was a horse that Sadler started at the beginning of her career. She was a Quality Road. She won on debut at Los Al. And then later on, in fact, Jason Barkley and Brian DiDonato's group, the Franklin Avenue group, they got their hands on Highland Lass at some point, but she was okay and she was fast early. So there's some sibling strength, to say the least, in a rather mundane maiden 50 group. And you hit the highlights on Malibu Cat for Glatt and Raneem, as well for Baffert, who has run a couple of races that were good enough to, you would have thought, to break a maiden. So this is not an easy spot. I'm waiting for some input, frankly, from the clocking reports before I make a decision, finalize anything in there. Let's go to the nightcap and the fifth leg of this carryover sequence for the Stronach 5 tomorrow, the 10th race at Gulfstream. These are 16 claimers, non-winners of two lifetime, and there's a big bulky field here, but I really had trouble getting past some of the obvious in here.
I completely agree, Steve. We might have three different obvious in our head, but I agree. I had it 1-12-4, and I thought one of those three to me is supposed to win. We'll start with Ninja Dust down inside, a perfect post, tactical speed, running against, I'll use the word much better, I think, in New York. It's not a layoff to me when you march November 19th, Carlos to Joe Orsino. Joe does a really – I like the job Joe does, and small sample size, but he's 14% with newcomers into his barn. So I thought Ninja Dust has got to be right there on the line with a group like this. You go outside, the layoff in the drop is definitely, in the post for that matter, Croupy's Pizza Dom is a little tricky to me, but Mike Tomlinson does a very good job, in my opinion. You know, Chris Landeros is 0 for 87 at the meet. That's a tough one. But this horse has just been facing eons better, and just maybe, Steve, this is where he's supposed to be off a – you know, off just five races off a June layoff. I don't necessarily think they're trying to put something over on anyone here. Just maybe this is where Croupy's Pizza Dom is supposed to be. It's, you know, again, master of the obvious, but you look at the three fields he's been facing since he broke his maiden, and they're just better than this group. So I think he's a major player. And then the last one to me is Nova Lion, George Weaver to Kelly Rubley, but, you know, she does a very good job, I think. A little layoff here, but this horse fits on paper. Tactical speed, which I think you, again, we talked about it earlier. I think you need to be close on this turf course. So those were the three to me that I kind of said, well, you know, I initially looked, you know, you see this race and you're thinking, oh, man, there's going to be 10, 11 horses here that could win. I didn't necessarily think it was that kind of a race. And then backups, I've got Red Fog, the 2, the 7, Sir Hosky. You know, both of them are fringe players who need to move forward a little bit. But you look at Red Fog, John Mazza does a very, very good job, and he rarely claims a horse. So I would think he saw something he liked with Red Fog. And then Sir Hosky, the 7, is just kind of a little bit behind these on paper, but he's only got 9 starts, and maybe he's got a forward move in her. Michelle Nehi does a good job, hasn't run a lot of horses down at Gulfstream, but she knows, you know, her history. She knows a good horse when she sees it. I think she does do a pretty decent job with the stock that she has. And Sir Hosky with Zayas aboard, maybe a little bit of upside after 9 starts. But like I said, I'm kind of flying with 112.4 here in the finale. And it, like you started it off by saying a very tough sequence. And it is very tough to disagree with that.
Well, the 1 and the 4, I absolutely thought were major considerations. I would take Sir Hosky seriously, the 7 in here as well, Nihe and Zayas. And I thought that Super Courage dropping one more notch from 25 non-2 to this at 16 for Mrs. Weber and Mike Trombetta, thought Super Courage, far from a toss or an easy toss here. And when you talk about Croupy's Pizza Dom, you know, off the long layoff and, yes, dropping to the essentially to, you know, the lowest level, to say the least, I'm going to have to figure out a trip from out there in the 12. And as you mentioned, the Landero situation down there is a little shocking. It's a tough sequence in terms. If this was 50 cents, it'd be one thing. But the dollar denomination is what makes this so interesting. Give us the all A's ticket, Brian.
Yeah, you got it, Steve. It's $108. So in the first leg, we go 3-12-6-9 with the 7. That was Go Silently, my lone single in the sequence, with 2-8-5. With 5-6-3, with 112.4. So, like I said, it's $108, and like you said, and like I completely agree with, that dollar increment really makes it challenging. It really, it's the separator. There's no doubt about it, because, like you said, at 50 cents, you can do a lot of wheeling and dealing. At a dollar, it really kind of makes ticket construction every bit as important as handicapping. I think in this business, that's something that people overlook. But you know, sure, you got to pick winners. There's no doubt about that. But constructing a ticket is kind of a lost art as well, and it can really you can be the best handicapper in the world, but if you struggle constructing tickets, it's going to be tough to cash.
There's no doubt. And Brian's final thoughts and ticket will be up at ExpressBet, along with that other input that I told you about, whether it's XBTV from Zoe and Millie and Jeff Siegel, the staff at Gulfstream will contribute their input as well. You'll be armed to the teeth, and good luck. This, obviously, we wanted to do it today so that you can hear it again tomorrow as you make your decisions. And weather-wise, I know I did check. I checked Hallandale, and it forecast is free and clear because there were some MTO and a lot of a lot of AEs to consider, but it looks like the weather is going to be fine. Shouldn't be a problem down there. Brian, I appreciate this. Good luck. And we invite everybody to follow Brian, COTB, which is capital OTB, of course, underscore Nadeau, NADEAU, in a tip to his Quebecois ancestors. Brian,
you did mention, and I don't want to be too complaining as I sit here in Fort Lauderdale, but you said it's free and clear and cold, Steve. It's like 48 degrees tonight, high of, I think, 67 tomorrow. So I got a lot of friends in town from Saratoga area who are loving the weather, and I'm sitting down here complaining because I'm saying, boy, it's only a high of 66. This is garbage, but no rain, so that's a good thing. So, fire, folks. Like I said at the start, take a rubber band off the bankroll and fire, because this is, I would think $1 million is in play, and that's a big number maybe to get your weekend started. So best of luck to everyone. As you said, the Twitter and the website, and I'll update this too on Twitter and on the website after I get the scratches and go back and really narrow it down for everybody. So best of luck and fire on a bet that is, I think it is now in front of everybody, and it's caught on. But boy, it's a really positive bet for the players, as you mentioned, 12%, and this week especially with the carryover. But even on an every Friday kind of thing, comfortably getting around 200,000. So take note of the Stronach 5 for sure.
And Brian, of course, at the Capital OTB website as well, with the one sheet, he'll attack the Gulfstream Saturday card, and I'm sure Seth will as well. Haven't talked to Seth this week, but Brian, right down there at Hallandale, keeping close tabs. Brian, thanks so much for this. This was great.
Yeah, Steve, I really appreciate it. Anytime, I loved it. Thank you.
Brian Nadeau. Let's take a break. We got Tony to get to, and he's going to be joined by Deshaun Parker. We're going to get Deshaun. We'll get the jocks together. Johnny D ahead as well, as we have the last regular season week of Beat the Host, and it's Eddie O. Back after this, though. Tony!
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. Whether at home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 years old and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100.
And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my darling. Stand by me. No matter who you are. No matter where you go. In life. You gon' need somebody to stand by you. No matter how much money you got, all the friends you got, you gon' need somebody to stand by you.
We're back at the races. In the night. 25 minutes into hour two, full dance guard today, and thank Brian Nadeau for the visit to talk about the carryover sequence at the Stronach 5. Dick Powell's with us earlier, Johnny D coming, John White as well this morning, and we start our jockey visit with Tony Black. Deshaun Parker is going to be added to the scene here in a little bit as well. And